Thanks. A warm welcome to you if you've joined us since the last welcome. It's great to be amongst you. Family, visitors, it's my privilege to share God's word with you today. Best thing about Jonah, it's all on a one-page spread. No turning the page, all right? It's 928 and 929 in these Bibles if you haven't already found it. We're going to be looking at Jonah over the next 2 weeks, one and two today, a little bit of three, and three and four next week. Please have this open in front of you. It would be great. Every time I mention a verse, I'd love to see your eyes darting down to see that I'm not just making this up, okay? We're going to pray in a moment as we look at God's word. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us now as we seek to meet with you. Help us to meet with you in the book of Jonah. We thank you for what it teaches us. Help us understand. Help us learn. Give us understanding. Help me as I speak to do so with the truth. We pray that we would see Jesus and the cross through what we learn today. Amen. Let me introduce you to Carson. Carson is a volunteer with the RNLI. The RNLI is the UK's Coast Guard. It's a search and rescue organisation saving lives. And his story of becoming a volunteer is worth hearing. Here it is. Carson was a strong swimmer. His story of becoming... he lived near the coast and he regularly went for swims in the sea. In February 2020, Carson went for a swim at his usual spot, but was met by red flags, a little bit like this. I can hear echo. Do you mind turning me down a little bit? Thank you. He was met by red flags. Danger. No swimming. Do not go in the water under any circumstances. Carson, again, strong swimmer, thought he knew better. He thought the red flags probably just for tourists. He ignored them. And as he got closer to the water, there was another set of red flags. No swimming. He ignored them. The patrolling RNLI lifeboat, a lifeguard there was patrolling the beach. And as they saw Carson get in the water, they drove as fast as they could to try and get to him. They knew there was a deadly riptide in the area. It was going to rip him out to sea. They shouted for Carson to turn back. They waved their arms in the air. Carson actually remembers this. He remembers seeing the lifeguard waving at him, and he thought, I'm already into my swim. He ignored them. Sure enough, the riptide got hold of him and dragged him and carried him far out to sea. He miles and miles away from the shore, bigger waves hit him, overtaking him. Exhausted from what felt like hours from battling this riptide with waves crashing over him, Carson was dangerously close to drowning. He recalls being pretty annoyed and angry at himself for putting himself in that danger. And just when he could barely keep his head above the water, a hand reached down and grabbed him from the lifeboat to save him. The RNLI lifeguards, they'd seen him. They'd been monitoring him, and eventually they rescued him. They had warned him, right? They had set out red flags with a clear message on them. They had followed him, and they'd shouted and waved, "Turn back!" Even after they saw Carson determined to endanger his own life, they are still determined to save his life. Carson realized how ignorant and stupid he was, and he was deeply grateful to those who saved his life, hence why he now volunteers. He joined the RNLI on their mission to save lives. This morning, we are going to see how Jonah disobeys the word of the Lord. We're going to see how he ignores warnings and heads towards death itself. We're going to see how our God, the Lord, is determined. Actually, the one who has been disobeyed, the one who has been rejected and ignored, insulted, the Lord is determined to save the very ones who disobey. So, look with me in your Bibles. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Tarshish, I don't know exactly where it was, maybe in Spain. It's over 2,000 miles. I've made this I'll put this over here so it's not as in the way. I've made this, actually Jake made this, so I can't claim full credit. It's over 2,000 miles away. It actually doesn't matter where Tarshish was exactly. Here's the important thing. It's not Nineveh. This is sin. This is rebellion, clear as day. God says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, no. God says, go. Jonah says, no. It's blatant disobedience. Jonah goes in completely opposite direction. And we see that, I'm going to use this to make it a little bit clearer for us. God says, go. Oh, God says, go. You can repeat it again if you want. God says, go, and Jonah says,
no.
No. Let's carry on. Verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Chris brought us a psalm recently about a great wind that breaks wood and breaks trees. Well, this storm is coming and it's going to break the boat. A massive deadly storm, and it's hurled towards Jonah and the boat that he is on. The sailors in the boat with him, they recognize this storm is supernatural. In verse 5, they are afraid and they cry out to their own gods. The sailors realize this storm is going to kill them. They start chucking stuff overboard, right? This is desperate times. The storm is for Jonah. It's a consequence of his rebellion. But there is hope. It's not all over, okay? The storm is a warning. It's a red flag, like a lifeguard shouting and waving at Carson. Come back. This doesn't have to end in death. A warning means there's a chance to turn back, right? To stop going against God and to go. Maybe if Jonah calls out to the Lord, he'll help him. And actually, the Lord could calm the storm. So we need Jonah. Jonah? Where is Jonah? Look at verse 5. Where is Jonah? He's sleeping. Jonah is sleeping. Jonah has got earplugs in. He can't hear the warnings. He is ignorant to the consequences of his sin. Jonah is acting here as someone who does not fear God. The captain wakes him and tells him, call on your God. Help us. We are in danger. We have no evidence that Jonah prayed. He doesn't pray. His silence is alarming. He doesn't seem to care that everyone around him on this boat is going to die and it's his fault. He doesn't seem to care. Did you notice verse 5? Everyone is calling out to false gods, right? They don't exist. There is one man on the boat who has a direct line to the Creator God who can calm the sea with a word. He doesn't ask for help. The sailors cast lots, right, to find out who is guilty. This is a great opportunity for Jonah to confess, by the way. And of course, Verse 9, have a look with me. Verse 9, they find out it's Jonah. They find out, actually, that Jonah has angered the Lord, the God of heaven. Oh, heaven, where this huge wind is coming from. Actually, he's angered the Lord of the sea, this sea, the sea that the waves are about to break this boat, and the dry land. The storm is getting worse and worse, and Jonah, rather than calling for help, tells them, chuck me overboard. He does admit fault in verse 12. He does say, it's my fault. But actually, he resigns himself to death. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Valiantly, verse 13, the men try to row. They're heroes, right? They try and row back to land. They value Jonah's life. But they can't. The sea is too wild. The storm is too great. And the sailors then cry to the Lord, something Jonah should be doing. A prophet of the Lord. This is something he should be doing. Verse 15, they then took Jonah and threw him overboard. The sailors throw Jonah overboard. Into the sea, into death. Jonah has been heading this way ever since he disobeyed the Lord to death, and now he reaches the end. Jonah is facing the consequences for his disobedience, for his rebellion against the Lord. This death, right? Death, that is where disobedience leads. This is the price of not going where the Lord commands. To say no to the Lord means death. The waves sweep over him. The waters engulf him. Josh read, the seaweed is wrapping around his head. Jonah realizes he is deep in the realm of the dead. After all that we've just read, after all the ways we've seen Jonah fail, all the chances he's missed, all the red flags he's ignored, I think he deserves it. Don't you? Like Carson the swimmer, he put himself in danger. He didn't listen to the warnings. He literally ignored red flags. He ignored those trying to help him. He didn't listen to the shouts of warning. And it's his fault, right? He should face the consequences. Jonah disobeys the Lord. He is determined to be in charge of his own life. And he does not care about the people suffering around him. Did he expect to get away with it? We've been studying Jonah at Refined, and that's our Friday youth group. And we've been using two main props, to help us understand and apply what we've been reading. So firstly, the book of Jonah is a window into God's heart. A window into God's heart. And we'll look through that window in a moment. But secondly, our second prop is a mirror. Can you all see yourselves? Jonah himself is a mirror into our own hearts. Jonah's disobedience is blatantly obvious, I think you'll agree. It's emphasized by his physical decision to run away. Actually, if we take a closer look in the mirror, this attitude of Jonah's is very visible in our lives. When I was first reading Jonah, and when I first was preparing this, I found myself thinking, well, God doesn't speak to me like he speaks to Jonah. Like, I've never disobeyed such a clear and direct command to go. Maybe you were thinking, well, if God spoke to me in this way, in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, I would never run away, right? I would never disobey so disrespectfully. Brothers, sisters, God speaks to us. And he speaks to us directly. The Bible is God's word. Every time his word is opened, he is speaking. We actually have more revealed to us than Jonah did. No excuse. And God's word is full of commands that we disobey all the time. Let me give you three. Let me give you three as evidence. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. It doesn't take too long before you could probably think of a time like me when we've done the complete opposite, when we have loved something else with all of our heart. Ourselves, money, health. We disobey the word of the Lord. Two, love your neighbor as yourself. Reflecting on this week, I barely treat my wife and child in this way, let alone anyone else. I'm so selfish. We are so selfish. We disobey the word of the Lord. Thirdly, and the one I want to major on today, in Matthew, we are told to go and make disciples. It's a very similar command to the one that Jonah is given. Go and tell people the gospel. Go and teach them about the Lord our God. God says, go. And we say no. We don't often go, do we? We shy away from speaking about Jesus at work. We don't pray for opportunities. We're scared of our school friends making fun of us for speaking truth. I wonder how it makes you feel when Luke says, he reminds us it's a go Sunday. I wonder how it made you feel when Steve stood here and said, we're going to be flyering this afternoon. How did it make you feel? Did you switch off? How many of us are going to run straight home after we enjoyed lunch? Our hearts want to run. How many of us are scared of sharing God's message outside the comfort of this building instead of obeying the call to go? We say no. I've been struck hard by this, actually. I've been really convicted about my own attitude towards God's command to go. I've always got an excuse for my disobedience. I've always got an excuse for my disobedience. Yesterday, we had a men's event where Patrick was ready to share the gospel. He was ready to share Jesus. Peter whipped up some outstanding bacon sandwiches. So much so, we all think had two of them. I didn't bring anyone. Actually, worse than that, I didn't really invite anyone. I think that's evidence that in my life, I do not take this command to go seriously. I wonder if you'd also admit something like that. Just like Jonah, we disobey the words of the Lord. We are determined to be in charge of our own lives, and we do not care about the suffering of those around us. Do we expect to get away with it? No, we deserve the same punishment as Jonah. We deserve to be thrown in the sea. We deserve punishment for our rebellion. The Lord hates sin, right? The Lord hates sin. He is just and he is fair. When he tells Jonah, we'll skip back to verse 2, have a look down with me. He tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Why? Because its wickedness has come up before me. The Lord cannot allow evil and wickedness to continue forever. Don't think that his threat to Nineveh or to Jonah or to the sailors is hollow. Actually, we have plenty of examples, accounts in the Bible of cities and people who are destroyed because of their wickedness. They get the punishment that their sin deserves. There is a real consequence to sin. The Lord is just and he will punish disobedience. And we all disobey. The Bible says from birth, we are all going against God. Sheesh. There is hope. There is hope through this window. Because through this window of the book of Jonah, we see God's heart. And we see that the Lord is determined to show mercy. As Jonah is thrown into the sea in verse 15, the camera doesn't stay with him. Imagine it's a film, sorry. The camera doesn't stay with Jonah. The author writing it doesn't stay with Jonah. He pans away. And where does he go? Well, verse 15, follow with me. The raging sea grew calm. Verse 16, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, the men, that's the sailors, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. These sailors have had quite a day. The author of Jonah tracks their experience using something like a fearometer. And I've made one here. So follow with me in chapter 1 as we go through the sailors. We first meet them in verse 5, and they are afraid. They are afraid of a supernatural storm, and they are crying out to gods that don't exist. Actually, they're chucking their belongings overboard. So we're starting at quite a high level here. This is a high level of fear. In verse 10, we learn that something terrifies them. What is it? Well, their fear increases as the storm increases. But also in verse 10, they learn about the one true God, the Lord, Yahweh, God of heaven, sea, and land. And in verse 16, their fear is at maximum. They greatly fear. But the storm hasn't increased. Actually, the storm is calm. Their fear is now of the Lord. These sailors didn't know God. They couldn't follow his commands. They're living for themselves, and therefore they're ignorant of their creator. They're heading for death. The Lord is determined to show mercy. Notice that they go from calling out to gods with a little g in verse 5, don't exist, and asking Jonah to call on his God, little g, they don't know who his God is, to verse 14, they're crying out to Yahweh, the personal name of the Lord. When you see in the Bible the word Lord in small but capital letters, that is the translation of Yahweh, the personal name of the Lord, the one true God. These sailors started their day ignorant. They now know the Lord. There is hope for those who do not know God. The Lord is determined to show mercy. Oh, Rob, you don't. There's no hope for me. You don't know how I've rebelled. You don't know how I've gone against God. It's not ignorance, right? It's not that I don't know him. Actually, I've rebelled. I've disobeyed him. After all he's done for me, I've spat in his face. He's told me to follow him, and I've done the opposite. I'm so obsessed with myself. Some days I don't think about God at all. I'm so like Jonah. I deserve to be in the sea with him. It's not just ignorance. Well, here then is Jonah. In the sea. He's close to the end. Jonah is paying the price for his rebellion. He sinks to the roots of the mountains. Darkness surrounds him. His life is ebbing away. He is scared. He is full of fear, the fear of death. He has been brought to the brink of death. And at last, he can see his need for help. When death is imminent, in his distress, he calls to the Lord. Verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah is saved, right? The Lord is determined to show mercy, like a lifeguard, right? Reaching down to save. When Carson was in the waves in distress, when he reached up, the lifeguard's hand was there. You know, we get the sense in this passage that the Lord is just waiting for Jonah to grab his hand. He's ready. He's so determined to show mercy. Jonah calls for help, and the Lord is right there. Even someone who has fully rebelled, someone who is clearly and overwhelmingly guilty of disobedience, can cry to the Lord and be saved. Ah, Rob, there's no hope for me. You don't know what I've done. There is hope. There is hope. The Lord is determined to show mercy to Jonah. He is determined to show mercy to you. Remember, the Lord is just and fair. He hates sin. Sin must be punished. The consequence of our disobedience never just disappears into thin air. Sin is never ignored. The Lord is determined to save us from that punishment we deserve. He is so determined. He is willing to take that punishment on himself. We read of a prophet woken up by experienced sailors who are afraid of a mighty storm. But this time it's not Jonah. The prophet rises from his sleep and he speaks to the winds and the waves and he says, "Quiet, be still." The storm is calm and those on the boat are more afraid. Why? This prophet is not just a messenger of the Lord, not just a messenger of the word of the Lord, but Jesus, the Lord himself. Just like Jonah, a man from Galilee. Unlike Jonah, Jesus lived his whole life obeying the word of the Lord. Jesus never rebelled. He was never selfish. He was always caring for others around him. He prayed to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. Not my plan, but yours." He obeyed the Lord's plan to go to the cross, to die in the most painful and humiliating way. Jesus took the punishment that Jonah deserved. Jesus took the punishment the sailors deserved. Jesus died the death that I deserve. If you're here today living in rebellion against the Lord, if you're living for yourself, if you're going against him, the Lord is determined to show you mercy. Here's his promise. If you realize that you're in the deep realm of the dead, if you realize how disobedient you've been, if you believe in Jesus' death on the cross and you call for help, he will rescue you. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, Jesus went into the earth for 3 days and three nights. And after that time, he rose from the dead. He is alive. He is alive. Jesus is alive. Feel hopeless? Call out to the Lord and he will show you mercy. Many of us here have been shown that mercy. We have been saved from the consequences of our disobedience by Jesus' death on the cross. And yet, we still struggle to obey. Easter is a great opportunity for us to obey the command to go and make disciples, right? We have gospel flyers. We're trying to get them into 5,000 Edmonton homes. We'll start with 2,500. 5,000 would be great. We have outreach events mentioned earlier. Coffee, craft, and cake. Things to invite people to. We have friends and neighbors who may be more willing to hear about the real meaning of Easter at this time. I know I often fail to obey the Lord's command to go, and I think as a church family, we could do better. So how can we be more obedient? Well, the book of Jonah can help us, okay? So last push, chapter 2, verse 10. Back with me. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And I want to sneak into chapter 3 here. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah is given a second chance. He is told to go. Same command. And in verse 3 of chapter 3, what do we read? First two words. Chapter 3, verse 3.
Jonah obeyed.
This is huge for Jonah, right? This is a big change. And I think it's huge for us if we understand and want to become more obedient. How did Jonah go from being a rebellious runaway to an obedient evangelist? I want to major on three things, okay, that cause Jonah to go. Ezra, are you able to move the slide on for me? Maybe these things will help us do the same. So, firstly, thankfulness. Jonah has been saved miraculously by the Lord, and he wants to shout about it. Did you see that in his prayer? Verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. He wants to let people know that salvation comes from the Lord. Carson, the swimmer who was saved, his reaction to being saved by the RNLI is thankfulness, right? He shouts about it. He went to local newspapers. He's talking about how silly he was and how great the RNLI is. And what does he do? He volunteers now, right? He joined their fight. He joined their mission. If Jesus has paid for your sins, and you're not going to face the punishment you deserve, are you not grateful? Are you not thankful? Don't you want to shout about it? Don't you want to go to local newspapers, get on the news, telling people how great Jesus is? Our thankfulness should drive us to want to talk about it and also to join the Lord's mission, to show mercy to those who deserve death. How do we become more thankful? Well, we look at the cross. We look at the heaviness of our sin, and we look at the price that Jesus paid for us. Secondly, fear the Lord. Jonah's actions, his disobedience, his ignorance, his sleeping on the boat, his not turning to prayer, all of these are symptoms of a lack of fear of the Lord. He doesn't take God seriously. He isn't taking God seriously. The sailor's fear, the author picks up in the book of Jonah about the sailor's fear. And we have a fearometer, right? This is all to highlight that Jonah doesn't fear. He's sleeping. It's to contrast Jonah's lack of fear. Whatever he thought, it's clear Jonah does not see the seriousness of his sin, and he does not fear the Lord or the consequences of disobeying him. We actually learn in chapter 4 that Jonah still doesn't want to go to Nineveh. But Jonah now fears the Lord. He fears the consequences of disobeying his commands, and he sees how determined the Lord is to show mercy. The Lord commands us to go. Go and make disciples. If we fear the Lord, if we fear the consequences of disobedience, if we see the seriousness of our sin, of going against him, we will obey. We will go. Look how determined our God is to show mercy to Nineveh, to the sailors, to Jonah. Look how much Jonah had to go through to learn. Look at what Jesus did at the cross. Look how determined the Lord is to show mercy. Look at what Jesus had to go through. It's much better to obey his word the first time. Thirdly, ask for help. Pray. God knows our weaknesses. He knows I find it so hard to invite my mates to church events. He hears our bad excuses for not leafleting. He knows how disobedient we are. He could do this without us. He chooses to use us. This is the Lord's mission. He's leading the charge. Of course, he will help us if we ask for help. Why don't you join with me now in asking for his help? Lord God, God of the heavens, God of the sea and the dry land, our Lord, we are so sorry for how we have disobeyed you. We are sorry for how we have run in the opposite direction when you tell us to go. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for you. We are thankful for your perfect life, the death that made a way for sinners like us to be saved. Thank you. Lord, help us to obey your word. Help us to fear and love you. You know our weaknesses. You know how we struggle. Please help us as a church to go and make disciples. Help us to have hearts like yours, determined to share the gospel. Help us to reach every corner of Edmonton with gospel flyers. Help us today as we seek to get these flyers out. We pray that your gospel would not fall on deaf ears. We pray that you would encourage us to be those who are hardworking at getting these gospel flyers out there. Please help us to be bold in inviting people in our lives to events. We pray that the event next week on Saturday will be well attended by people who have been given personal invites by our church family. Help us to be those who go and make disciples of all nations. Help us to align ourselves with your mission. Lord, please help us to obey. We pray this all in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing His Mercy Is More. And as you go through these verses, as you sing them, just look out for the ways that we see this. We see God's heart in this hymn. His Mercy Is More. Let's stand, let's sing, let's praise his name.